been listening to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Ion Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Ion Travel continues from the Salamander Hotel here in Washington, D.C. on our pre-inauguration weekend 2025. Of course, you know the drill. You can always reach me. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. If you were listening to last week's show, you heard a rather heated conversation that I had with a spokesman for a big citizens group in Barcelona that essentially thinks that the solution to over-tourism is to end tourism. It didn't go well because while we all agreed that over-tourism is a problem, I was a little bit questioning their rather one-dimensional solution. Received a lot of emails from our listeners and want to go to the phones right now and talk to Eva out in Ithaca. Hey, Eva.
Oh, hi, Peter. Yeah, you're very committed to tourism, and well, some places seem to want it and some don't. And if Spain wants to transition away from tourism, I'm thinking they should have like a strategy to move toward something else.
But here's the problem. That's a country that's the number one or number two destination of popularity for Americans. How do you just say we're moving away from tourism?
Well, actually, by developing, well, okay, so here's what we have. We're kind of a hybrid in this area. We have a lot of different types of tourism here. Like in the Finger Lakes, we have over 100 wineries and bed and breakfasts.
Sure.
And hundreds of cottage industries. And a lot of those bring in tourism that's widely distributed over the area. And I think that's one of the problems with tourism generally. It's so concentrated. So we're bringing in over $1 billion across the region.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Yeah. But you know, if you take a look at the map of Spain, they're not just going to Barcelona. They're going to Madrid. They're going to Seville. They're going to, they're going all the way over to Malaga, Valencia, San Sebastian. I mean, it's not just all in Barcelona. But I think you and I would agree that the numbers that we've seen over the last couple of summers in many popular destinations like Athens or Venice are out of control. And I'd be the first to agree that the numbers in Barcelona are way too high. But you can't just end tourism. You either have to spread out the season or try to do what some destinations are doing, if you'll excuse the expression, surge pricing, by basically saying, if you want to come at this time of the year, you're going to pay a whole lot more. I'm not so sure that's the answer either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was thinking about Venice in particular, because they're so locked into those tourist sites. But I was imagining that there may be stained glass studios in Venice that they can put up galleries for tourists to watch the process of making stained glass.
They do that already. Oh, of course they do. They do it in two different islands, one of which, of course, is Murano. But here's the thing. What they tried to do in Venice was, we're going to charge €5 if you can't prove that you have a hotel reservation in the city to try to discourage day trippers. Guess what happened? Everybody paid the €5 and came anyway. So then this year, what have they announced? They're going to charge €10. Is that really going to do anything? You and I both know it won't.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, and is the solution?
Well, one solution is to take out the calendar and do what I do, a little bit of a contrarian way, embrace the off-season. We just did a cruise that went to the Mediterranean in the middle of winter. We were the only ship in the harbor. We were a small ship. There were no lines at any of the tourist attractions. There were no crowds in Las Ramblas in Barcelona or at the Gaudí, all the architecture, or anything. So that's at least one way to try to spread it out. You can't just eliminate it. It's part of our cultural DNA, right? I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way about the Finger Lakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have a pretty widespread season because we also have skiing and things like that. So we're pretty much a four-season
And that, yes, and Eva, that's the point. If Spain goes to four seasons, this problem may not go away totally, but it'll get a whole lot better. That's just my thought.
Excellent.
Yeah, so thank you for emailing me about it. We got a lot more emails from other interested listeners as well, because it's a situation that's not going to be solved in 2025, and it may not go away for years. But as a start, look what we just did on our cruise in the middle of winter, and it worked like a charm. So just a thought. Eva, thanks for calling in.
I'll be listening. Thank you.
Okay, I thank you. We appreciate that. And you know, what Eve is talking about and the subject that we're dealing with, it can be controlled by some commonsensical planning, urban planning, airline scheduling, hotel rates, and of course, if you're coming by cruise or train, different seasons. It really is possible to do this. And we're going to start seeing it simply because what are the other solutions that make sense? And right now, I'm not finding any. Anyway, food for thought as we continue from the Salamander Hotel right here in Washington, D.C., as we prepare to inaugurate the 47th President of the United States. Back with more from Washington as Eye on Travel continues right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. Been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production.
Peter Greenberg back with you as Eye on Travel continues for this inauguration weekend 2025 as we prepare to inaugurate America's 47th president. Of course, you know the drill. You can always email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll be glad to solve it right here on the air. Let's go out to the phones in Chicago. I've got Judy on the phone. Hey, Judy.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing just great. How can I help you?
I just have a question. In the past, when I've traveled abroad, I've always gotten an additional medical insurance policy that would cover evacuation if I needed it. And I'd used Safety Wing in the past. I recently turned 65, and when I went to apply for a policy, that's kind of their age cutoff. They only will give you something called a nomad policy. And my husband's over 70, and they won't give him any kind of medical evacuation insurance. And I just didn't know, was there a company or a policy that you would recommend now that I'm over 65 that would be a good policy to have if I'm out of the country?
Sure. Well, let's go a quick review of what we're talking about here. It's medical evacuation and repatriation insurance. In essence, what that means is if you get sick or injured overseas, they will pay to get you medically stabilized where you are. And then the good policy, and if it's really well written, they will then consult your own personal physician. After all, who knows your medical history better than your own doctor? And depending on your condition, they will then send a medically equipped jet and fly you back. Here's another interesting language differential: to the facility and doctor of your choice. Now, you bring up an interesting point about age cutoffs, because there are a number of insurance policies out there that I'm aware of. They have an age cutoff too, but it's not 65. MedJet Assist, their cutoff is 75. Now, when I say cutoff, I don't mean it in a one-dimensional way, meaning the policy that they offer everybody is good until you're 75. After 75, there's a sliding increase in premiums, as you might suspect. That's one. Travel Guard is another good policy. And Allianz, they're the largest travel insurance company, I think, in the world. They also offer a policy. But here's my big caution for you. And that is, so many people who are listening to this show will make their travel reservations online. And in many cases, whether it's a hotel or an airline, the internet will not let you complete the transaction unless you opt in or opt out of the insurance. That's not the insurance we're talking about here. That insurance is called trip cancellation and interruption insurance, which you also need to have based on the investment you have financially in your trip. But in any case, my advice is never buy the insurance online. Go to your travel agent or travel advisor. They're certainly capable of selling you those policies, but more importantly than that, Judy, they're able to explain them to you, because you need to be known, you need to know what you're being covered for, as well as what you're not being covered for. Remember, there could be situations of pre-existing conditions or where you're going. There may be an exclusion based on conflict in the area. So there are policies that you can get where you're not going to get cut off at 65. MedJet Assist is one of them. So check that out.
And Judy, you had one more question?
I do. The upcoming trip we are taking is to Norway in June, and I have a travel guard policy in place for that trip. But I just didn't know, does that contain enough medical insurance for evacuation and whatever you would need in that policy, or do I still need to get the additional MedJet Assist policy on top of the travel guard?
Well, the question that I have is your travel guard policy a medical evacuation and repatriation insurance policy, or is it trip interruption and cancellation policy?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't look at it clearly before I...
Well, you have to look at it clearly, because clearly you need to know, okay? There's no such thing as buying a trip cancellation and insurance policy and interruption policy that comes with medical evacuation. They're two separate and distinct policy coverages, okay?
Okay, so that answered my question. So I can evaluate the travel guard policy, but it sounds that like going to MedJet Assist would be also the next choice as well.
That's certainly one of the alternatives. Yep, there you go.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your help.
You got it, Judy. Thanks so much. In the meantime, what Judy is talking about is one of the more misleading aspects of the travel process. She's not alone in being confused by what kind of coverage she's going to get. And that's why I keep telling everybody, you need to have a conversation when buying travel insurance. It may be expedient to do it online. I have never found anybody satisfied by doing it online, because you really don't know what you're getting covered for or what you're not getting covered for, which is even more important to know. So when you see that thing pop up on your screen, if you're still making those reservations and buying your airfare or your hotels online, please opt out of the insurance and then have a conversation with a travel advisor or a travel agent. And at least if you find out you're not being covered, at least you didn't waste your money. All right? That music means we are out of time for this hour. Stick around, because when we come back, more with our good friend Matthew Upchurch, the CEO of Virtuoso and essayist and author Pico Ayer. Back with more from the Salamander Hotel in Washington, D.C., right after this.
You've been listening to Eye on Travel with Peter Greenberg. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com for more information and sign up for our newsletter. Eye on Travel is a CBS Audio Network production. With reporting from around the world, it's time for Eye on Travel with America's number one frontline travel news journalist, Peter Greenberg. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back to Eye on Travel for this pre-inauguration weekend. I hope you're having a great time wherever you are. And if you are just joining us, let me tell you where we are. Get out those maps, boys and girls. 38 degrees, 54 minutes north, 77 degrees, 2 minutes west. We are at the Salamander Hotel, a great hotel here in Washington, D.C. And of course, we're here to take your calls. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we will solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to the phones to Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. And in case you want to know where that is, it's in the southwest corner of the state near the Virginia line. And I got Kevin on the phone. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Peter.
You emailed me something interesting the other day about what I was talking about with my wish list about all the things that need to be fixed with the FAA. I hope, first of all, you agreed with me.
Yes.
I mean, we have so many things to talk about there, but one of them is something that's been going on for not just weeks months or years, but decades, and that's the FAA's inability or unwillingness to come up with standardized seating based on safety, not comfort, on airplanes that will then allow for a truly reasonable and compliant evacuation of a plane in an emergency with less than, with half the exits blocked and in the dark in less than 90 seconds. And to give everybody a refresh on this, the airlines always have passed that test. And up until about 3 years ago, they passed the test because they were able to hire and pick the people who did the test, otherwise known as, I'm joking here, but not by much, the cast of Cirque du Soleil. And so now the FAA was asked by Congress 5 years ago to do this, to come up with a standardized set of seating plans. They basically slow walked it, then they refused. Then they were sued in federal court by a public interest group, and the public interest group somehow lost, and the FAA still hasn't done it. So what's your suggestion?
Well, I had recently seen the evacuation of the Delta plane in Atlanta.
Yeah, that just happened a week ago. Yeah.
So I was wondering if anyone had actually ever determined the amount of time that it took to evacuate that plane in a real world situation with in daylight with all the doors available.
Well, let me tell you another story before we get to that. About 9 years ago, there was a British Airways 777 flying from Las Vegas to London, fully loaded. It ironically was the pilot's retirement flight. And as he roared down the runway at Las Vegas Airport, his left engine exploded in fire. It did that at precisely the moment he had to make a decision whether to rotate or not. He aborted the takeoff. He somehow managed to keep the plane on the ground. I mean, the physics of this are just amazing. And got to a stop. I mean, the brakes were molten. Needless to say, in this case, half the exits were blocked because the left side of the plane was on fire. And so they had to do an evacuation. This was daylight, just like the Delta plane you mentioned the other day. And you know how long the evacuation took?
I'd be interested to find out.
Over 13 minutes.
Wow.
Unacceptable. And not only that, people were coming down slides with their carry-on bags, their laptops, their favorite pillows. This is not the way to evacuate a plane. Now, in the case you're talking about, when Atlanta had a snow condition about 10 days ago, a 757 basically couldn't stop and aborted, went off the end of the runway a little bit. They ordered an evacuation. All the exit doors were open. That's not just the two in the front, but the window and the rear. So you had basically a minimum of six slides deployed, and thankfully everybody got off okay. But I can promise you, I'll go back and find out the actual time. It's not difficult to find out, but I can promise you, I will stake my career on this, that it was not less than 90 seconds.
I was amazed that when I saw some video from it, that the people standing around the runway, I was amazed how many people didn't have carry-on baggage or even personal items. I just saw a few backpacks and...
Well, you know what? You got to thank the flight attendants for that, because they were, I'll make you a bet, they were screaming at the top of their lungs, just get off the plane, take nothing with you. Get off the plane, take nothing with you. And you know what? They did the right thing. The flight attendants should be applauded for that. This is not a time to figure out if you're going to, you know, get your favorite teddy bear. Get the you-know-what off the plane. Now, this is not a situation in which they were compromised by fire. However, it certainly was an aborted takeoff and an emergency. So cheers to everybody for getting out. But still, when you saw them all out there with no, you know, nothing else other than their body, it still was not less than 90 seconds. So all these tests that the FAA has been doing for years are bogus. Because guess what happened about 3 years ago? The airlines petitioned the FAA to let them do the evacuation tests, not with humans anymore, but on computer. That's even more absurd. They're going to pass the test every time. Where's your cross-section of age, of disability? How about this? Fear. How do you plug that into the computer? You got me. So we have a new administration starting in 2 days. Hopefully, if there's a new FAA administrator confirmed, we'll be able to make some progress here. But they've not been able to do it in decades because of intense lobbying by guess who? The airlines. And the FAA has to change their understanding. In fact, their basic definition of mission, the airlines and the manufacturers and the airports are not their clients and they're not their partners. They are the partners and clients don't exist that way. We're the clients, and we need to be treated that way. Let's hope for some better change in the days, months, and years ahead.
Definitely.
Kevin, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Peter.
And when we find out the time, I'll get back to you on that. But again, one will get you 10. It was not less than 90 seconds. Thanks again for the call.
Good night.
In the meantime, this brings up the question about how fast is the FAA going to move on airports, on inspection, on oversight of manufacturing, on certification of airworthiness. All these things have to be done, and the FAA doesn't have the staff to do them. By the way, the FAA is also in charge of, guess what? The air traffic control system. We already have 3 ATC centers that are operating below an 85% staffing threshold. And you know what that means? They're not asking. They're ordering their air traffic controllers to work mandatory overtime. The one job in the universe that nobody should have to work overtime on. I mean, this is crazy. And the year is 2025. We have the technology. Do we have the passion to actually embrace safety in a way that finally makes sense when it comes to a federal regulatory agency? I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. And when we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend, the CEO of Virtuoso, Matthew Upchurch, along with Pico Iyer and his new book, which might surprise you. Back with more from the Salamander Hotel right here in Washington, D.C., right after this.
Your flight might be late, but we're on time. Eye on Travel. We'll be right back.